Blog Talk Radio.
Alright y'all, welcome to Real Sports Guys Radio. I'm trying to get my music down, trying to stop all my stuff. Welcome to Real Sports Guys Radio, where real guys talk real sports. And if LeBron made the kind of decision that he might make to stay in Cleveland, John Paxson might put his hands on him. He might put his hands on it. We don't went around the world. We don't talk about every team. And it looks like LeBron might pull together something that might have him stay in Cleveland. Marcus, I know you've been on Facebook. You draw more reaction. You made a compelling case for New Jersey, which, you know, I felt good about. I just put a post up there feeling like this is going to be a dud. What's the reaction to what we're hearing right now?
Man, if he stays in Cleveland, I just feel it's so anticlimactic. Like, this is what everybody's been paying attention to. You know, like, it kind of shows a bit of a personality flaw that I think LeBron has. I think LeBron loves attention. I think he loves this attention. And this is why. For the simple fact, Cleveland is a team that right now, as they're constructed, I don't think they can get out of the East. I don't think they're built well enough to get past Orlando. They've proven that the last 2 years, they haven't made any significant roster changes. Neither has Orlando. They, I don't think, can match up with Orlando at all right now. And so this team, as it's constructed, has an uphill climb to get out of the East. So what does LeBron do? He goes and, you know, flirts with all these other teams. If he winds up going back to Cleveland, I don't get it. I don't understand the decision-making process that he's making. Like, if he were to leave and he were to go anywhere, I could understand that because he saw an opportunity for a team to advance. Like, the other teams can do something. The other teams have something to offer. He knows what Cleveland can offer him. Yes, they can offer him $30 million more. I get that. And I know at the end of the day, it's probably about the money. But this whole process has just been like, a look at me, come check me out, you know. And I get it. It's smart on his part because it is building his brand because for the last week, I mean, ESPN, on the bottom line, they have the NBA, MLB, World Cup, LeBron. He got his own section, you know, on the bottom line. So I get it. It makes sense. You know, but I also think it shows that, you know, in this scenario, it doesn't seem like winning is actually at the forefront. Because if it was, Cleveland's not the best situation right now. Cleveland's the best situation money-wise, but winning-wise, it's not the best situation, you know. And so why try out this dog and pony show that you're looking for the best situation, and then you go back to a team that can't really make no moves? You know, that's what got me is that he's saying he's looking for the best situation. He's trying to win a championship. He's looking to become a global brand. Then he goes back to a team that, one, isn't right now constructed to win a championship, as proven by the last two playoffs, and two, is still in Cleveland. So how did he improve his global brand, and how did he improve his chances of winning the championship, if that's what all this was about? That's my problem right there.
And let's talk about that global brand for a minute. Everybody in the world knows who LeBron James is. So his global brand may or may not get better anywhere else. And that $25 million is on the table. And you just really can't leave that there. And we've talked about it before. If he's going to worry about his legacy, he has to win a championship in Cleveland. He has to. If he should leave, you know, I mean, they've done everything they possibly could, I believe, to show him, you know, that they want him there. They fired coaches. They've asked GMs to resign. They've gone after players when they were available. You know, maybe it's LeBron. Maybe he has to do a little bit more. Maybe he has to come to the fore a little bit further. Maybe he's not ready. So, I mean, he can leave Cleveland, but he can't, you know, he can't further himself by teaming up with a boss and playing in some other city simply because they have the cap room to do it.
And I think going back to Cleveland, he may be making a bigger mistake, not in regard to his legacy or anything like that, but in terms of his opportunity to actually win a championship. Because, again, he held that franchise hostage for the last 3 or 4 years with the threat of he was bucking.
Right.
Now, they could come back to him like, you didn't leave. So we can do whatever we want.
Well, we
gave you the roster. We made all the moves you wanted us to make, and you didn't leave. We didn't win a championship, and you didn't leave. All right? So you chose us this time around.
So now
that deal don't make sense to us. Whether you want it or not, LeBron, you're not going to get everything you want because you signed for 6 years.
You got a maxed out deal. Yeah, I mean, if he's staying in, he's already telling you he's got to sign for 6 years because it doesn't make any sense for him to come back to Cleveland
and sign
for 3 or 4 and bring Bosch there. Because if he's going to bring Bosch there, then Bosch is signing for the max because he want that money at the end of the contract as well. So he's already saying, I'm staying here until I'm like 31 years old. So either he is impressed with Byron Scott. He's impressed with something that's there, that saying we can do it. Something's telling him because he could have that same deal. I mean, he can't get the $30 million, but he's got to win championships. If he doesn't win championships, I mean, he can make that up an endorsement. I mean, is it about legacy? I mean, he's really the pressure goes up when he stays in Cleveland. To me, you know, by staying in Cleveland.
Oh no!
I think
with the team, if they get Bosch, yes, then the pressure is up. But
the only reason he's going to stay is to get Bosch. He's not going to stay. Bosch has got to be coming because for him to stay and do the 6 years and not have Bosch, he basically is not guaranteed to win anything. Think about that. I mean, if he stays with the team he has right now, they're not winning. So he's got to be some guarantee that there is another free agent coming with him to play with him.
With Mo Williams as the second best player on that team.
Yeah, he's just not going to.
That's not going to happen.
No. So there must be a guarantee somewhere.
Again, when I said that they made the moves, you know, with the players, you know, that was just the players that were available. You know, Shaq did not make that a better team. So, I didn't even count. I wasn't even counting Shaq.
No, I wasn't either.
hey, fellas,
not at this point in his career.
Hey, fellas, we jump in this really quick, but I want to make sure that people know 347-989-0844 is how you can join the conversation. And we actually have somebody who wants to join the conversation here with us. Who we have on the line? Who is on the line with us? We got somebody on the line. Who's on the line? Somebody in the toilet? We got somebody in the background. I'm going to have to take you off.
Is that LeBron? Yeah. Is that you?
LeBron, is that you? You going to break it on our show? Take it.
Is Bosch with you?
We got background noise and everything else. Well, we're going to have to We might have to hang up and have a person call us back in a minute to see who's online. But we got somebody here from the Rockford area who's trying to get on with us, and they'll probably end up calling back. So I'm gonna hang up here for them, and they'll come back. We had all kinds of background noise. Somebody was getting something to eat and coming back in. But if you want to join us, 347-989-0844 to join the show. We'd love to have you join this conversation. But back to the conversation. What do you think went on? Because it had to be. I still believe that LeBron wants to win championships. So something. I'm trying to figure out what happened. If it does go back, what could Cleveland have said that other? Because it's more than just the money. I mean, the money is an issue for a lot of other free agents in this thing. But LeBron is going to get that money if he wins. So what do you think, if you were in Cleveland, how would you sell Cleveland?
Well, I think what they said about Cleveland was that they went at it, you know, with the hometown approach. I think all these other teams came with that, you know, we'll build you this global empire, we'll make you this, you know, we'll make you this world superstar. And one of the things that I heard, you know, one of the things that I read was that there was nobody in his camp that could comprehend that. You know, you're talking about a room full of 25-year-old men.
Yeah.
And so they were, you know, I mean, LeBron is at his headquarters decked out in, you know, in LeBron wear, you know, T-shirt, tennis shoes, shorts, you know. And it would appear as though it was never, you know, they were questioning, the GMs were questioning, and the owners were questioning the questions they were getting back from this team.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, they didn't seem to have the savvy to be a part of that global brand anyway.
Yeah, and I think Ray, what you pointed out, I think you hit it on the head when you talked about his boys. I mean, he's got the same cats that was around him when he was 18. I think this is a loyal person. And I think that's probably the main reason why he's going back. It's because there's a sense of familiarity, and he does have a value set that I think wants to be loyal, wants to be loved, wants to be liked. And so that's why, I mean, this is a guy who has a bunch of 25-year-olds around him because those are his boys.
Right.
Those are the
and
people
he's going to take them with him wherever he goes.
Right.
You know?
And so I think that even lends itself more to him staying in Cleveland. Is that, like, I mean, just look how he runs in a circle. He's not bringing in a bunch of outside folks.
Right.
He's got people that he knows, people that he feels comfortable with. And, you know, of all the NBA teams and all the ownership groups that are out there, Cleveland is that. Cleveland is his boys. I mean,
right.
You see how much fun he has with his teammates when he plays with them out there on the court. You know, some of it I don't agree with. I think they need to have a more business-like mentality sometimes. But I do, I can appreciate the fun that they do have, and it seems like they actually genuinely enjoy being with one another. So that leads me to believe that even more so, he's probably going to stay in Cleveland, which, again, like, why the dog and pony show? Because if that's who you are, then be that.
Well, he's also launching this website. I mean, he's got the brand. I mean, part of it is launching his website this week. He's got a lot. I mean, he's still there, and we're gonna have those questions are gonna be answered for us soon enough. And the way this thing is changing, you know, we're gonna see. I mean, the funniest thing is, you know, D Wade was about to do a press conference and he pulled out. I mean, this stuff is almost soap opera like, and people are saying, you know, with this new agreement, you know, David Stern is gonna get control of this. But in some ways, I like the fact that these players are taking control of the situation, because too many times ownership in the league. Now, I love the NFL, but the NFL has gone over the top with just so much control over some of these players. I like the fact that these free agents are in control for the most part. And to me, I like that. Even if they end up going back to them, they're making a lot of people wait. And this is exciting to me that and they're taking control like a lot of athletes don't do. And it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA responds to this in the collective bargaining agreement, because they don't like it. I think – the NBA has been helpless because they don't have any control with this.
They love it, man. I actually think they love it. I mean,
because of all the
how much NBA talk can you get? I mean, this is the most NBA talk in July. that I can remember in my adult life. I mean, usually, like, I was looking to check up on summer league. Summer leagues just started. And usually that's what I'm reading about at this point of the year, is reading about rookie summer leagues. And now there's actually something that has really knocked that to way at the back page of the league. Like, I had to, like, search. I had to go to NBA.com to find that.
Well, you think of the summer league, when you think about the Cavaliers, you know they picked up Manny Harris, LeBron likes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they so it's going to – he's going to have an interesting mix with his teammates at this. I don't know. I wonder what the presentation was from Byron Scott. Because, you know, Byron's won. You know, Byron gets criticized, but, you know, Byron's been to the finals. You know, I wonder what his presentation, because they said there wasn't that many, there wasn't any former players on the previous staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now you have a former player. You know, I wonder what that Byron Scott presentation was like, because for LeBron, it's got to be about more. You know, it's hard for people to understand, but you know, if he's getting outsold 2-1 to Kobe in China, and reason why is because Kobe won championships. So if you want that market, I mean, some people be okay with being number two in that market, but if he really wants to be the top dog, then you got to be in a situation that will allow you to win. So Byron had to say something that convinced him that this is going to work out. And I wonder what that conversation is like. We got our caller back, so we're going to have somebody join us. Are you there now? Who's that? Who's on the air? All right, now.
Somebody got
that TV network. My wife, am I supposed to pick something up on the way home?
Oh, man, I think this is Mo. And he said he's just listening, but he keeps calling in.
I think what's almost anticlimactic about the free agency is that you know about what kind of money these teams are ready and willing to offer. You know what these max deals are. You know what the mid-level deals are about. You just wonder where these players are going to go. So having the ability of these free agents to be in collusion a little bit has to scare the NBA a little bit.
Yeah.
So they have to how these stars can align themselves. Mm-hmm. What they have to be hoping for is that there's enough ego on the part of some of these guys that they just won't play together.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to play against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know why LeBron would want to play with Wade.
Yeah,
because any championship they win would be tainted. Now he might be able to take Bosh on his team, but not really Wade. You know,
right.
When they were talking
right.
about Bosh and Wade and LeBron all down in Miami, I think even they saw that wasn't the best thing to do. You know,
and it's not gonna be good for them. It's not gonna be.
No.
At the end of the day, them teaming up is not gonna be good for their legacy, because it's gonna be who did you go through?
Right.
You know, well, who did you beat? You know, who did? They're not gonna be any classic matchups. You know, and
sure.
I think that's what made a Jordan and a Bird and a Magic so great, was you got to see them match up against each other, which even made their legends grow even more, because
mm-hmm.
you had these epic matchups where you had, you know, Jordan going against Barkley to get one. Jordan had to go through Magic to get one. He had to go through Malone and Stockton. He had to go through Peyton and Kemp, you know. And
if you team up with those dudes,
it takes that away.
And they didn't even, you know, they weren't even guarding each other. They were just on opposite teams.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play the same position. They didn't have the same game. You know, those matchups that you're talking about, what made those interesting is that it still came down to a team sport at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you load a team, when you unbalance the NBA that way,
yeah,
I think it just makes, but it sure scared the hell out of the NBA.
Yeah,
it scared the hell out of the NBA fans. I was scared of it.
Yeah, I actually was like, I don't want to see that.
Right,
that's not a movie I want to see.
Yeah, you know? But again, and I think that's, you know, when you go back to why did LeBron do it, you know, LeBron, this has to be the ultimate, you know, ego stroke.
It has to be.
He didn't go out of town. He didn't go anywhere. You know, everybody came to him, came to his
right.
office, came to his, you know, and you have to wonder what LeBron's office looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see a big, you know, glass top desk. You know, I don't see that. You know, secretary out there, you know, stopping everybody at the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a cat in there with a big screen TV. You know, they're in there playing Wii. You know, they got Coke bottles and shit all over the place.
It looked like a frat house.
Right. Look, yeah, they got, you know,
like
they got that
room.
Old. Yeah, that old wire spool table, you know. They can. They're making money out of there with anything. They can throw crates in there, and they're still going to come out of there making money.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, you know, it was crazy about the day. It seems like, you know, reports are showing, you know, you've seen this competition between LeBron and Wade for Bosch.
Mm-hmm.
Does Wade go to Chicago or does he stay in Miami?
He's staying in Miami.
Think so?
I think Wade is running interference.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's running interference right now. I think he's just like, I'm gonna flirt with Chicago because then they can't commit. They can't commit because they think they got money tied up in me, so they gotta leave that money available to me. They can't put no other pieces out there. See, like, nobody's flirting with New York, so New York went ahead and made a move.
Yeah.
They got Amari Steinmeier. Now that makes New York more attractive.
Sure.
Likely, you know? Whereas with D-Wade talking about, oh, I might go to Chicago, that puts Chicago, because Chicago really only needs one of these guys.
Yes.
They only need one.
Yep.
So with D-Wade saying he's going to be that one, or he might be that one, that puts Chicago in a position, well, do we commit to somebody else, or do we just wait on D-Wade? But what
look
if
you
get D-Wade? And so then that's one less destination that can go 100% at somebody else and be like, come on, just come. We'll fix everything else afterwards. That's one less team out there in play for Bosch, in play for, you know, LeBron or whatever. Because I think also D-Wade is looking at this like, if LeBron and Bosch team up, I can't beat that.
No, that's right. I have to believe LeBron is looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron is tying up these folks and saying, okay, and that's exactly what you want in the NBA. You want these guys to play that chess game.
Yeah.
Because next year, if two of these guys aren't playing with each other, if Bosch ends up somewhere else, you know, every time he goes into Cleveland, every time he goes into Miami, he's going in there with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the only one that actually said, I want to play where LeBron's playing.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody else say that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anybody else say that openly.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've touched on the guys that haven't made decisions yet. But some of these other decisions I think we need to touch on, like the Knicks signing Amare, and somebody foolhardily gave Joe Johnson a whole bunch of money. And Boston is in an interesting position now. I mean, mm-hmm. with Pierce taking actually less money than he was going to make, that just freed up them some cap room. Plus, it ain't 100% whether or not Rashid is going to turn in his retirement papers yet. So that's another deal that they could then trade to somebody as a basically an expiring contract.
Yeah. And I mean, in Boston, I mean, I had a chance to watch Summer League, Herring Gotti is going off. So he might end up being a steal for them. They got Deshaun Sims. So in terms of some big men, you know, who they can bring along, they got some big men who are developing in their Summer League. I mean, Boston, you know, it's funny. I said this a while ago. I said when all the dust settles, I said it's about L.A. I mean, all this stuff really benefits L.A. I mean, everybody's talking about all these other teams. But even, you know, with what we've just been talking about with Cleveland and everything else, I mean, L.A. is still in a strong position. They're not threatened any more than they were 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you know. And
look at the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, look what the Bucks have done in the last
solid
week and
moves,
a half.
Solid moves. I mean, they're a solid 50-win team right now.
That's exactly. And unless somebody, you know, runs a super squad out of the East, they're going to be contenders. And the beauty of it is they'll be contenders for a few years.
Yeah.
And when I look at it, I mean, you know, you talk about the Bucks and we're talking about New York and Amari signings. When I, you know, I heard Tim Legler say, you know, he liked Amari signing. And, I mean, I like Amari. But, I mean, you basically building the Phoenix of the East.
I was going to say, you're about to be a six seed.
Yeah, right. I mean,
you're about to be a six seed and that first round exit. I mean, Amari, I'm not a big Amari fan.
That's why I like the Bucks. I mean, you think about, you see, if I'm Chicago, I'm looking at what the Bucks just did. Because Chicago, it'd be nice for them to get one of these big signings, but hell, if you get Mike Miller or you get some guys like that and build them around the folks you already have, you can start making some moves. I mean, some of these other teams, that's what we were talking about last week, is some of these other teams, who are the other people, you know, with Boston open up, who might come out even stronger in a better position. I mean, this is look like it's happy. It's down to these GMs. And, you know, Danny Ainge is going to do something. And we've seen what's happened in Milwaukee. I mean, when the dust settles, LeBron might look a bit better, but he still might look like a second seed, a third seed. He yep. still might look like a fourth seed team, given what some of these other teams are doing.
Which is exactly why, like, why are you staying in Cleveland?
$25 million.
You know what it is. I got it. I get it. And if that's what it was, man.
And that's something awful.
It be that.
LeBron is only 27 years old. So unless something awful happens, he's going to win a championship. That's going to happen.
I agree.
And I think that what it really boils down to is that nobody can offer him that global brand that he's looking for. Winning will do that. Mm-hmm. And no matter where he went, no matter where he was going, nothing was any more permanent or definite or written in stone than Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about that. Everywhere was 2 or 3 years away.
Absolutely.
So if he stays in Cleveland, he don't break anybody's heart. He gets his other $25 million. He didn't betray anybody. He didn't burn any bridges. How would you like to be the hometown boy that left?
Mm-hmm.
Your Christmas won't ever be the same. I'm telling you, Christmas, mama's got to move. Everybody's got to leave. All them fellas that are up in that, you know, playing Nintendo, he ain't taking all of them. He ain't taking all of them, no matter where he goes. If he stays in Cleveland, he's at home. He can rest. His house shoes are there. He's fine. And he'll win his championship. Jay-Z, you know, the billionaire in New Jersey, they could tell him, you know, we'll you know, make you the highest paid player. We'll make you a global brand. They couldn't guarantee it. Nobody can guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he's a Warren Buffett prodigy, you got to take that 25. It's on the table. It's right there. You know, he blows a knee next year anywhere, and he never plays again. You're going to wish he had that 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I you know, looking at Cleveland's roster, there's nothing there. I mean, when you think about and what you're saying, Marcus, about, you know what Paul Pierce has done and what Boston's going to do. If Boston gets, let's say if Boston gets like a Miller
mm-hmm.
or someone like that.
Or if they get a J.J. Redick or just another
J.J.
guy who can stroke the ball. They need
That's
another
right.
shooter on the perimeter, and then they need another big body who can do some things, who got
That's
a
right.
little bit of versatility.
That's right. So you get that full. Now you're in trouble. Because now you got Orlando is still looking good, and you got Boston is looking younger now. They've got a little bit younger, but with some experience. Now you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you in trouble. And yeah, you got Bosch, but it's you and Bosch and the Jets, because you ain't got nobody else around you. And then you talk about Milwaukee getting better, and Milwaukee was already playing tough.
Yeah.
So now you talk about Milwaukee getting better. I mean, Philly is not going to be terrible when you get Doug Collins up there coaching. I mean, every night in the East is going to get a little tougher for you. So I understand it, but I just don't see where they can improve after getting Bosch.
Right.
I mean, they don't have anybody else to move.
No, they don't. I mean, that roster is what it is pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, like, again, your second best player right now is Mo Williams.
Yep.
You know? And that I'm not scared. I'm not frightened by that team.
But look at what he's also doing to the East by holding everybody ransom. Like you said, Chicago right now is no better than they were a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready to challenge. And if they don't get one of these big three, they just got a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, they got a decent squad, young squad, a lot of money. You know, and who's going to come out next year? They're 2 or 3 years away.
Yeah.
But I said to you a couple weeks ago, who's going to sneak out the back door?
And the player that's going to sneak out the back door, in my opinion, is Al Jefferson out in Minnesota.
He's got
a big contract right now. They just signed Darko. They got Kevin Love. And they just signed some other Euro kid who's supposed to be decent. So to find ain't enough minutes for four big guys to be out there, and you paying them all decent money.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they want to move him because him and Love are, you know, they just don't match. They're both good players, but they don't play well together because they're too similar athletically. Like, neither one of them is a supreme athlete, and so they're both about 6'10", 6'9". So you got an undersized front line, and ain't one of them athletic. That's a problem.
That's right.
So they're trying to move Al Jefferson. Now, one of these teams with this big chunk of cap space who doesn't get one of these big free agents, I would try and grab an Al Jefferson. You know, throw in the draft pick. If you're good, it's gonna be a late first rounder anyway. I'd throw in two.
That's right.
Here, take two 25th picks.
Right.
You know, and give us Al Jefferson, and we'll take his contract. You know, and you don't get any cap. You don't get any cap money back. You're good.
That's right.
You know, because they can be able to do that. You know, even in Miami, if they don't get Bosh, I'd immediately give up. Because Minnesota's GM has proven to be, I mean, he gave Darko $5 million a year.
Right.
He's proven his rocks ain't all there. So I would call him. I would have his number on speed dial. Maybe you can get him to throw in Rubio or something.
Even after Darko saying, I don't think I can make it in the league. Darko took himself out the league.
Right. Like, I think I'm going to go back to Europe. Okay.
I just can't make it. I ain't good enough. I'm sorry, you know. you get $5 million, man. I'll tell you, boy, I wish I was about 6'10". So there's money to be made, boy. I have a little jump hook or something, but there's money to be made. Yeah, they're doing it.
Maybe the dude in Minnesota's a genius because Darko actually got more rings than almost anybody else out there. Maybe he's a genius. Maybe he said, man, I just signed the only free agent with some rings.
That's right. Maybe something rubbed off him from being around it.
Nah, he ain't got that piston work ethic. But what is interesting is the GM in Milwaukee used to work for the Pistons.
That's right.
And that team is looking real similar, you know.
That's right.
Not one star, but a lot of guys who can do a whole lot.
And really, who I would go after, not because they need him, but just because they don't have that veteran in the locker room, I'd be looking at Ray Allen right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's still the purest shooter in the league.
Yeah.
He's a proven vet. They need somebody in the locker room that can make something, you know, out of this team.
They can bring some professionalism.
Exactly. They got a lot of potential, but nobody's actually ever done anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and McGetty and the big man they just got, you know, these guys have, you know, they traveled all over. They won nothing, but they traveled.
Yeah.
Get somebody in there with a ring. Get somebody in there that can sit them down, you know. I don't care if he says anything. Just watch how he comes in, puts his
stuff
on.
He goes about his business.
That's right. Goes to the shoot around, you know. They need to go after a veteran that has some rings, that has actually been in the trenches. Somebody that's going to sit in the huddle and go, you know, you got to watch for this. You got to watch for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say something. Now, did y'all see this, that the Clippers are looking to hire Vinny Del Negro as the next coach? I'm thinking, this one, I thought the Clippers trying to turn the corner. What about Vinny's experience in Chicago told you he could do this?
Man, he must got connections to, like, the mafia or something.
He got some pictures of Sterling or something.
He must got pictures of several GMs, man.
With goats or something.
Something, man, because it's like, really? That was Vinny, and that was Vinny's first job. So it's not like he has, like, a history of actually some success, some winning. But that's the Clippers, man. That's what they do. They make terrible decisions consistently. That's what they're great at, though. I mean, the Clippers, the Raiders, teams like that.
The Raiders. The Raiders have a legacy.
The Raiders had a legacy. The Raiders, you're right. The Lakers
Clippers.
Do. I mean, the Raiders do have a legacy, and anytime you talk to Al Davis, he will tell you about it. Can't tell you about nothing now. He can tell you about the '70s.
Right, but I mean, you can the Clippers. Even when I was a child, would get a first round draft pick and just kill somebody's career. You know, you hated to be the best player in college basketball because you were gonna go to the Clippers. But they mean. You mean one Clipper that ever went anywhere and did anything? One. All them great college players just got jinxed. You know, that's, you want to talk about Sports Illustrated cover. You got drafted by the Clippers. That was purgatory.
Yeah.
Going to hell, you know.
Yeah,
that's what players went to die. My
goodness. I mean,
and what killed me is that ESPN actually covered the Clippers as if they had a shot at LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had the Clippers, and I'm like, are you crazy?
I mean, somebody should just say, LA's got money. They don't really got a shot. They just got money. They got
right.
money to spend, but they don't really got a shot in this situation because they just didn't. I mean, they really – come on now. The Clippers.
Hey, y'all, we're going to have somebody join us there. Who do we got here on the air with us? Hello?
This is Seth from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome. So what do you think about what's going on with this free agency?
It's whack, but, you know, this is what we expected since day one. But you know what? Honestly, it's kind of Thursday night, 9 o'clock, I think the dominoes are going to start to fall because LeBron James says he's going to make his decision Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you think New York got a shot?
New York's got a shot because, listen, you have Amari Stoudemire locked down. Chris Bosh doesn't want to go to Cleveland. I think LeBron wants to stay in Cleveland, but he needs to bring someone else here. He can't. Chris Bosh already said he's not going to Cleveland. I think Bosh is going to stay in Miami. I don't think if LeBron stays in Cleveland, the problem is, though, the team is not good enough to win them a championship. We've seen that for years already, and his team is stuck with the cap space. Mo Williams has a big contract. Anderson Barrageau, Antoine Jameson, these guys have big contracts. Now, you go to Chicago, I don't think that will work well either because, once again, doesn't get that second guy. Derrick Rose is also a guy that needs the ball all the time like LeBron James. I don't think that will work well. You go to New York, you have Amari Stoudemire locked down, bring in LeBron, you have Eddie Curry's expiring contract, you can get another max next year, you have Danilo Gallinari. New York is a realistic option, but like what I wanted to talk about tonight mainly was my thoughts on the Amari Stoudemire deal, him signing 5-year, $100 million.
You think that's a good situation? You think that's a good deal? You think that was a good signing by the Knicks? How is that deal out there in New York?
I think it's a great deal. I'll tell you why for a couple of reasons. You know, I talked to a couple of Knicks fans of mine. They're not that happy because Dave Lee's a homegrown talent. I remember drafting him 30th overall, first round at the University of Florida. But listen to Amari. He's a 5-time All-Star. A 3-time All-NBA second team in 2005, 2008, and 2010. A 1-time All-NBA first team in 2007. He won the 2003 Rookie of the Year. He has a career 22-9 career average. Averaged 24-9 this past year. Scored 40 points plus on Paul Gasol. Averaged 25 points in the Lakers series in the playoffs. Averaged 40 plus on Tim Duncan. Amari is a great player. He's one of the top 3 power forwards in the NBA. Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett didn't even average 29 this year. I think Duncan averaged 18-10, and KD averaged 14-7. Amari Stoudemire is one of the most athletic big men in the NBA. He has a great mid-range shot. I mean, I just think this is a great signing. I think he's better than Chris Bosh, in my opinion, because I think Chris Bosh was nowhere in the playoffs. He can't carry a team on his back. And you know what? People say Amari can't play without Steve Nash. That's garbage. In his first 2 years in Phoenix, without Steve Nash, remember, Steve Nash wasn't here yet. In 2003, he won Rookie of the Year, and in 2004, he averaged 22-9. So Amari Stoudemire can play with that Steve Nash.
But here's a question: will Amari Stoudemire rebound? Because it's a good signing, and Amari's a good player. But this is my biggest gripe with Amari's game: is that as athletic as he is, and I agree with you, he is probably one of the most athletic big men that we've seen in a while. I mean, he reminds me of Sean Kemp. But the way Amari, with his athletic ability, he should roll out of bed every night and get 20 and 10. And he doesn't. And that bothers me because if you looked at this final series, it came down to rebounding. Whoever dominated the glass won that particular game throughout the finals. And if New York wants to bring a championship there, they have to, I mean, that's something that they got to think about with Amari. Is he going to rebound? Is he going to play D? Is he going to do those things? He can score on anybody. He's a scoring machine. He's one of the most gifted scorers in as far as big men goes in the league right now. But can he do the other stuff? Can he play the D? Can he rebound? Can he do those things that are going to be necessary to win in the East? See, that's the difference. He's going from the East to the from the West to the East. Out West, he could kind of get away with that a little bit, and the Phoenix could play that up and down style and not have to worry about it. Worry about the defensive end until the playoffs, and that's where they ran into. They were still successful, and they were still able to win. But when they got down to the conference finals against those defensive-minded teams, it was hard for them to turn around and get stops when they needed. And that's what you need to be able to do in the playoffs to get stops in the fourth quarter.
Look at it this way: he's going from a Western Conference, which is murdered. You have to face Tim Duncan nightly, Carlos Boozer, Dirk Nowitzki. You have to fight these power forwards daily, day in, day out. When you go to the Eastern Conference, all there really is Chris Bosh, and that's it. Amari's going to tear up the East.
But what I would say, the big thing about it is with Amari, and this is I get back, but I agree with Marcus, what he's bringing is that you are hitting a good point about Amari. Amari is a perennial all-star, what I call my dog meter. And that means the gut check time, can you do those little things that take your team over the top? And that part, I don't know about Amari. And that's that last 5 minutes of the game where you have to put your dog meat on. So Amari might have 35 points. He might have been a dominator for 3.5 quarters. But when it's time for that to get that rebound, block that shot, make that play that gets you over the top, that's the part that I have to see with Amari, because he'll score, but I wish you could probably track it by quarters or by money time. Is he going to be that cat down the stretch that is, you know, no matter what, I'm taking it on my back, we're just not going to lose. And that part I haven't seen in Amari's game. I see that in the regular season. But you can do that on a Tuesday night going from Los Angeles Clippers to Golden State. But when you talk about a 7-game series where you got to break the will he be able to break the will of a Dwight Howard? That's the piece that I need to know.
Listen, even if Amari can't
Go ahead.
Even if Amari can't do that by himself, that's why the Knicks have another max contract space that can bring someone else to help him. Maybe a sign-in trade with Golden State, who has shown interest in David Lee. Sign David Lee, do a sign-in trade, get Monty Ellis back, and then you have Eddie Curry's $12 million coming off the books next year. With the new CBA, $12 million might be enough to even get another max contract. And you know what? Carmelo Anthony and Tony Parker haven't been shy in saying we want to play in New York. He told Amari that. So honestly, things are looking up. Even if Amari can't do it himself, he will get help. Amari's going to get a good team around him. I can guarantee you that.
You're making some good points. I want to ask you, what do you think about the coach? Is he a championship coach?
Well, listen, he took his team 2 times to the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, he never really made it a championship. But you know what? He was assistant for Team USA. He won the gold, you know, and he made the 2 Western Conference Finals. Now, he played, I believe, both times a great team, Greg Popovich's San Antonio Spurs. So, you know what? That's a little thing that bothers me about D'Antoni. He never got over that final hump. Well, listen, to take your team 2 times to the Western Conference Finals for 4 or 5 years, be one of the top 2 elite teams in the Western Conference, that's one hell of a feat. You can't deny that.
No. But again, New York has placed themselves in a better position than they were before, but they sold the farm to go after LeBron. New York is one of the teams that has been talking about LeBron for the last 3 years. You know, billboards, Who are they going to go after right away to make themselves good when LeBron doesn't show up?
Listen, don't call the Knicks out yet. No one's out of the whole entire thing until LeBron James says he's going somewhere. I refuse to say he's going here or there, but I refuse to also say he's not going here or there until he says somewhere. Now, back to what you're saying, he's not done Donnie Walsh. He's going to get someone else to help Amari. And listen, people say it's LeBron or bust. I don't agree with that. I believe it's put a damn good team on the court. It's put a good team on the court or bust. You got to make. We haven't been in the playoffs in 9 years. I love LeBron. But you know what? I care more about having a good team than having LeBron James by himself. If you put on a good team, I'm happy. It's not LeBron or bust. It's put a damn good team that can win some playoff games on the court or bust.
And I dig that. And everybody's talking about getting another max guy. I don't really think any NBA team right now should really – I think they really should rethink taking on two max guys. And I'm going to tell you why. Like, if you look at the highest-paid players in the NBA this past season, the highest-paid player, Tracy McGrady, $23 million. Kobe, he's worth it, $23 million. Then you got Jermaine O'Neal, $23 million. Okay? Duncan, $22 million. He's worth it. Shaq, $20 million. No. Dirk, $19 million. Okay. Paul Pierce, $19 million. Ray Allen, $19 million. Rashard Lewis, $19 million. Michael Redd, $18 million. Those are the top 10 guys, and about 60% of those dudes are worth it, and about 40% aren't. So do you really want two dudes roster? Right. Do you want two dudes on your roster who are going to be, in a couple years, getting paid $20 million apiece and probably not giving you near – and that's what bothers – again, with Stoudemire, like, it's not what he is now. It's where he's going to be when he's 32. Because then he's going to be sitting on your roster – as an albatross contract, where he's getting $23 million, and you're trying to figure out how can I get rid of this dude.
He's at his prime of his career, so I'm not worried about that. But here's the thing you made a point of, I agree on. You don't need two star players to win a championship. Look at the Detroit Pistons. They had no big star when they won the championship. They had Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, and Rip Hamilton. All very good players in their set themselves. But none of them were a huge star. They were just great role players. If you can just have 5 to 6 very good role players, you can win a championship. The Detroit Pistons proved that.
But the one thing that you're going to say about it is they play defense. And no play. I would like to see D'Antoni and where his teams rank defensively. So when you talk about the Pistons, they had a team philosophy, but they also built it on defense. And so if you look at the top playoff teams, the teams that were successful, they were some of the top defensive teams. And that part of the coaching philosophy I haven't seen. And that's a New York flavor. Defense, being gritty, has always been, I think, a valuable part for New York people. And I don't know if that part of his – I haven't seen him coach that part of the game. You know, I've seen him coach very good offensive teams. They've been very competitive. But I haven't seen him – stress the kind of championship defense you're going to need to get over top. I think the Pistons are a great example of that. The reason why they won is they played great defense as well as being unselfish offensively. So the defensive part is what I might question here if they talk about winning championships. He can build a very competitive team, but to win a champ, the reason why he lost to San Antonio was San Antonio defensively shut him down and won one of the top defensive teams. So he was able to give him the – but can he implement that defensive philosophy? That's the biggest question I have about them.
Yeah. And I still feel like I agree. I think New York is a player now. I think they're more of a player than they were last week when we were looking at potential options for any of these big free agents, LeBron specifically. I think New York having Amari in the fold is more of a player because I do think Amari is a great player. I do think he's a great player. I just don't think he's a championship – I don't think he's a cornerstone of a championship team by any means, though. You know, I think he's a great player, and if you can get, you know, I think he's a 1A, a 1B, you know, a high level 2, you know, at best as far as his pecking order on a championship team. I don't think he's a lead dog on anybody's title contender, and I still have questions about again whether or not he can play without a point guard who basically is feeding you, you know, 10 points a game. You know, Nash was basically lobbing 10 points a game at the rim for him. And how does he function when he's not able to do that, when he's not getting that, when he's got a point guard who maybe is dribbling too much, and he's open now, He's not getting that pass right when he's open or right when he's coming out of his break or right when he's got his man pinned. He's not getting that ball no more. How does that work when you have a point guard who ain't giving you the ball like that?
We'll see if that was Stoudemire. Keep in mind that, you know, not everything that Nash threw up towards the rim was gettable for a lot of players. So
right,
you know,
right.
We'll see if he needs that much of a point guard when he gets to New York.
What Nash had was the willingness to put it up there, and that's what I'm talking about. Is that Nash was willing to put that ball up there, whereas another guard is like, I'm gonna chuck this one.
I just applaud New York for making this move. I applaud them for not waiting around to see what Bosh was going to do. Waiting around to see what LeBron was going to do. New York saw holes, and they filled them. They're starting to fill them. And if they're a year away or 2 years away, it'll play itself out.
Right.
And if they're able to, you know, team somebody up with a mind, that's what it's going to have to happen. But that's what everybody in the East has to do right now. That's what everybody is sitting there. I mean, even Boston is sitting there trying to figure out, you know, what other player they need to get over the top. So, you know, you talk about Howard and all these other teams, and these teams are setting themselves to get better, to be competitive, and I applaud New York for having the balls to go ahead and make a move quick. You know, everybody else seems to be staying home. They talked Stoudemire into leaving, and you have to remember he's what, 28 years old?
He's
young. He has, you know.
He got one young knee and one old knee. Don't underestimate that knee, man. Microfracture ain't no joke. So one knee is 27, the other knee is about 38.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, applaud New York for having gone out and made the major move. I mean, this to commit $100 million in this free agency market, it was huge. And it almost tells me something about them, you know, when they left that meeting with LeBron. When they left Cleveland, somebody had to look at the other guy, well, let's go get Stoudemire because I don't think this worked out. You know,
but that's good on their part.
I'm not necessarily saying that in a bad way.
I agree with you. I totally understand where you're coming from on that.
I'm thinking they left out of there and said, okay, you know, they didn't even look up from the Nintendo game. You know, let's get the hell out of here. Let's go with Plan B, and Plan B isn't looking that bad.
No, it's not, because I really do believe that Stoudemire has an opportunity to lead the league in scoring next year in that system and in that offense.
Yeah.
I think he could have an opportunity to put up 30 points a game easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to have a big season. He's going to have a big season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to have his best statistical season. I would, numbers-wise, I don't know about percentages, but numbers-wise, as far as like his hard numbers, his points and his rebounds, I think he's going to have his best statistical season. How much of an impact he actually has on the court, we'll still have to see, but I think he's going to be great in that system, and I think he's going to do well as far as winning a championship. I agree with Ray. I think they made a it's a step, mm-hmm. a step in the right direction for sure.
And if I'm the caller, if I'm from New York, I would have to be happy. I mean, I'm sitting here in Wisconsin and happy with what the Bucks have done,
mm-hmm.
and they're a better team. They're a better mm-hmm. team, and that's what you need to see from your team is. You know, I don't necessarily agree with what Atlanta did. I think Atlanta got scared. Atlanta looked at Joe Johnson and thought, well, that's the best we got. If we lose him, we ain't got a damn thing.
Yeah, you call that cat's bluff and say walk. I mean, now that's the guy who's 29. That's the guy who's definitely going to be one of those guys you look at. Like, he's getting max money, you know, in 2 years when he's 31. And shooting guards don't age well, particularly when their top skill isn't shooting. You know, they don't age very well. And so, in a year or two, that huge contract they gave him is really going to ruin that franchise. But that's what they do. That's what Atlanta does. They make bad decisions. So when they gave him that money, I was not surprised. I was not even upset. That's what they do. They blow stuff. They just mess up.
Hey, I know we lost my man from New York, but I want to say, if you're listening again, hey, join us again, my man. Get back up on the. around the table. We appreciate what you brought to the show tonight, and we want to invite you back whenever you have a shot to get back on the show. We didn't get a chance to say goodbye before you left the air, but we wanted to say it was good to have you on. So
make sure you come back next Tuesday. Some of this stuff will play itself out, and then we'll get to really talk about what's
going to say. We really have something to talk about next week.
Oh, my goodness. It's like a soap opera. It's like and Marcus, I think you're right. From for the NBA, and we're talking, and I'm looking at summer league rosters now. It was good for the league. I'm just wondering how the people like to control the players have, which I appreciate.
I don't mind that.
I like that. I wonder how the league is feeling, like the fact that these folks are talking, and you know how they control. They were controlling the all the management and saying they could talk, but these players were dealing and talking, and which I appreciate them taking that power back. But I wonder how the league, when they start getting this collective bargaining, how they gonna feel about that?
Yeah, and D Wade and Bosh are making a movie about it. Actually, I can't wait to see it because I want to see what it's like behind the scenes in these negotiations. D Wade and Bosh have been bringing cameras with them.
Wow!
Into these meetings.
Wow.
Y'all haven't heard that?
No, I didn't hear that. No.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing a documentary on the whole process. Bosh and D-Wade are both doing documentaries on the whole process.
Wow.
So Pat Riley's walking in to meet with Chris Bosh, and he's like, what are these cameras here for? Oh, we filming a little something on the side, you know. We got to keep our money up in case these contracts don't, in case y'all try to take that 20% when the CBA's up.
That's right. That's right. You know, y'all gonna try to clown us. We gonna make some money somewhere. I like that. That's the thing about that personal brand, man.
Yes.
These cats know how to do that, and I appreciate that how they doing it. I mean, even with LeBron launching his website and creating that, those elements I love about this because they take him control.
Yeah, and I was just reading about that LeBron announcement. I think he's sending the proceeds from some of it, however it's supposed to make money. He's sending it to the Boys and Girls Club of America. I can't be mad at that right there.
That's right. That's control, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I can't be mad at that right there. I gotta clap for that.
Oh yeah, these young cats got it, and however this shakes out. But I'm still gonna say, at the end of the day, the cats who snuck out the back door are gonna be Boston, Milwaukee. Don't think Dallas ain't gonna get out doing something. Lakers gonna make one or two minor signings, but they're gonna be difference makers in terms of rotation players. I mean, when the dust settles,
when they picked up Steve Blake,
see that right there that's a cat who could penetrate and run it in that triangle.
Yeah, he could shoot it decent from the three. You know,
he's surprised they didn't
go after Ridner. But they're talking about Milwaukee not being able to sign Ridner.
Yeah, they're not gonna be able to get him. I think Milwaukee's taking on enough of what they can take on, given what they working with. I think they, and with us, that may hurt them a little bit because they do have to find a backup point guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to me, Steve Blake's a upgrade from Farmar and company.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
And so that right there, a little bit difference. Hey, fellas, we got about a minute left. Let's get some final thoughts real quick. Ray, give us some final thought here.
I just, as a Bucks fan, I'm really excited. Unless somebody out in the East puts together a monster roster before this free agency is over, you're looking at different contenders. The NBA is going to look a little bit different next year, and and it's a good thing. And I hope that nobody gets that.
Marcus, you on there?
Yeah. I'm gonna close out with just this. We need to get the NAACP on the phone. We need to get Barack on the phone. We need to get Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all the heavy hitters out, and we need to get them out to these NFL cities because the black quarterback is just effing up right now. Vic, Young, Jamarcus Russell, come on, fellas. Let's get it together. That's all I got to say.
And I'm going to say, with all the hype is here, all the stuff is done. It's a straight dud. I enjoyed it. And I'm going to say Tiger don't give up that $750 million. Hide it in the boat. Do something. But don't get that money up. Until next week, we love you.